إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا من بعد. I welcome all of you to our class of Minhaj, and we're going to read from, still continue reading from the his book of our noble Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah, Al-Ajuba al-Mufida an As'ilat al-Manahij al-Jadida, Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovative Methodologies. And it's very important for us to know even a little bit about this innovative methodologies, especially those that are famous in our times, the like of Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, the Muslim Brotherhood founded by Hassan al-Banna, and they take from Sayyid Qutb, their main Shaykh, and they are deviant. They're not upon the way of the Salaf, even though they're very famous and they have a lot of followers. But the sect is not to be upon the haqq. It's not because of how many people they have behind them. It's about them acting upon the Quran and the Sunnah, upon the way of the Salaf. Likewise, Jama'at al-Tabligh in our time. They're famous, they're everywhere. And they are upon batil, upon innovations, shirkiyat, wal'iyadu billah. Along other deviant like Sururiya, Haddadiya, Qutbiya, and the like. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he's answering questions. This is questions that was compiled, answers to questions in Manhaj, compiled from the work of our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. We're in class number 8, question number 18. Su'al. ما هو المنهج الصحيح في المناصحة وخاصة مناصحة الحكام؟ أهو بالتشهير على المنابر بأفعالهم المنكرة أو مناصحتهم في السر؟ أرجو توضيح المنهج الصحيح في هذه المسألة. This is a question that it helps us a lot to understand many things these days and what's been going on in our times. So to know who's upon the haqq and who's not. This question is very important because it's not a question about something that happened 700 years ago. So something's happening. It's been happening, and especially in our times. The question is, what is the correct methodology for advising, giving advice, particularly with regard to advising rulers, the Muslim rulers? Should it be done by publicizing their evil actions, their bad actions, from the minbars, meaning in Yawm al-Jumu'ah, mention the mistakes of the ruler on Jumu'ah. Like the Ikhwan, they do this. Ikhwan al-Muslimun, that's what they do. The Khawarij, Jumu'ah on the rulers. Like Kishk, Abdul Hamid Kishk. This man, he, subhanAllah, he has the way of the Khawarij. Because his khutbah used to be on the rulers, many of them. And he mentioned them by names and make dua against them and rally the people against them, wal'iyadu billah. Or on classes or on websites and the like. Or by advising them in private. Which one is right? To mention the rulers' mistakes and the evil they do on the minbars and Jumu'ah prayer, in classes, on the internet and the like. Or they be advised in private. I would like to know what the correct methodology is concerning this matter. As you see, this is very important for us. Because there is, in our time, there's not even one Muslim ruler. There is many of them. Different countries, Muslim countries, and they have different rulers. And as you're going to see from the answer of the Shaykh, that these rulers, they are not ma'sumun. They have mistakes and they have shortcomings. قال الشيخ في الجواب العصمة ليست لأحد. إلا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالحكام المسلمون بشر يخطئون ولا شك أن عندهم أخطاء وليسوا معصومين، ولكن لا نتخذ من أخطائهم مجال التشهير بهم ونزع اليد من طاعتهم، حتى وإن جاروا وإن ظلموا حتى وإن عصوا ما لم يأتوا كفرا بواحا، كما أمر بذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who translated this first part? And I'm going to read from the translation actually, alhamdulillah. May Allah reward this brother who hand the book for me. Allah make him from the people who are going to be in Jannah al-Firdaws. I mean, and we with him, inshaAllah ta'ala. I'm reading from the translation of this book from Al-Ibana, a work by Al-Ibana, Authentic Book Publishing. طيب. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salah Al-Fawzani says, no one is infallible except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rulers are humans and they make errors. These rulers, they're human. So they make errors. He says, so no doubt they have errors and mistakes as they are not infallible. However, he said, you should not make their errors a cause for you to publicize them and stop obeying them. See, that's what the Ikhwan call to. And the Sororiyun. That's what they call to. They say, look, since he's doing this, we're not listening to him. He's not their ruler anymore. Wal-iyadu billah. Sheikh says, yes, they make mistakes, they have errors. But see, this is an alim upon the Sunnah. He's telling us the right things to do. He says, but still, we should not make their errors a cause for you to publicize them and stop obeying them, even if they may be oppressive and unjust. SubhanAllah, look at this. Ikhwan Muslimin, they don't like these terms. And these terms are in the Ahadith, by the way. You see, they're like, what? He's oppressive and unjust. Still obey him and don't go against him? Come on, you guys are with Saudi, right? See? With those Saudi scholars who they work for the government, right? But they don't pay attention. It's not the Saudis. Saudi scholars, mashallah, they adhere to the Sunnah. We don't follow them because they're from Saudi. They follow them because they're on the Haqq. If they are not upon the Haqq, it doesn't matter where they're from. Any scholar is from Saudi Arabia or from Gambia or Senegal or South Africa or Bangladesh or Pakistan or from Russia or China, doesn't matter where you're from. Egypt or Yemen or Syria, whatever. He's upon the Haqq. He follows what the Prophet was upon and his companions. This is one of the ulama. MashaAllah, we follow him, regardless his color, what country he comes from. So look at the answer now. Says, yes, even if that, meaning you do not talk bad about him in public, and you do not go against him or stop obeying him, even if that ruler may be oppressive and unjust or sinful, so long as they do not commit clear disbelief. He said, this is what the Prophet ﷺ commanded us with. This is what the Prophet ﷺ commanded us with. Of course, we're going to go back to the footnotes if we have time, inshallah ta'ala, but we're going to read the whole answer of the Shaykh, حفظه الله. قال وإن كان عندهم معاص وعندهم جور وظلم فإن الصبر على طاعتهم جمع للكلمة ووحدة للمسلمين وحماية لبلاد المسلمين وفي مخالفتهم ومنابذتهم مفاسد عظيمة أعظم من المنكر الذي هم عليه. الله أكبر. يحصل في مخالفتهم ما هو أشد من المنكر الذي يصدر منهم ما دام هذا المنكر دون الكفر ودون الشرك. Pay attention to this statement, subhanAllah. If only the Muslims, subhanAllah, Ikhwan, they know this and they understand it correctly. He said, look, Shaykh is still talking about the Muslim rulers. If they have sins and commit oppression and injustice, then indeed, being patient, while continuing to obey them, keeps the unity of the Muslims, maintains the unification of the Muslims, and protects the lands of the Muslims. Furthermore, the evil that results from opposing them, meaning the rulers, as the Ikhwan Muslimin, they call to go against this coming Friday, everybody come out, bring everybody out in the streets, because we're going to Shab yuridu taghir al-nizam, because the people don't want the ruler and this and that, and they want to do it their way. And then you say they're Muslims. If you're Muslim, you say you're Muslim, you're going to say, I'm going to do it the Islam way. The way of Islam. The way that Allah has legislated, not do it your way. Because the Muslim submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim, before he does anything, he's like, look, what Allah says in this. What the Prophet ﷺ tells us in this one. You see? But Ikhwan Muslimin, no. They will use the text only if it's in their favor. See, when they went against Mubarak, and before him, many rulers before him, they tried, because Ikhwan Muslimin, they've been trying for almost 90 years. They've been trying for all this time, 80 or 90 years. Finally, it happened with Mubarak, and they didn't use none of this text that you're going to hear. When the people bring them those texts, they say, well, wait a minute, you people are Ikhwan Muslimun, Islam, right? Well, there are texts that says, look, you don't understand those texts. Or those who understand it, like, look, this text does not apply on this brother here. It's too much, it's not on him. Yes, we know this, it does not apply on him. So when they become on the, when one of them, Mursi, Muhammad Mursi, became the ruler, and he himself says, publicly, he says, if one Egyptian don't want him, what did he say?
He will leave.
He will leave. He will leave willingly. What about like some 40 million don't want him? No, he's fighting. Subhanallah. Now, when the people go against mercy, when they went against mercy, now the Ikhwan Muslimin, they're using the ahadith and Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. You cannot go against the ruler. Why didn't you apply them against the other ruler? Now, because he's not one of them. You see how it is? Wal-iyadu billah. That's the falsehood. But the people upon Sunnah, they're like, look, yes, this man is doing a lot of bad things. We have to be patient, because the matter is not for us. Allah didn't leave it for us to do whatever we want to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us what to do in His book and in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh says, if they have sins and commit oppression and injustice, then indeed, being patient while continuing to obey them, keeps, look at the fruits, not going against the ruler. He says, keeps the unity, people are unity. Maintaining the unification of the Muslims, safety, unity, they save, the people are safe in their lands, in their homes, in their jobs, in the streets, and protects the lands of the Muslims. Furthermore, the evils that result from opposing them, meaning opposing the rulers, and seceding from them, are far greater than the evil that may come from them. It's far from the evil that comes from them. So there may occur greater evil than that which comes from them in the first place, provided this evil on their part is less than disbelief, kufr, and polytheism, shirk. And that's exactly what's been happening. That ruler, okay, they says, well, he has a lot of money, he has billions and millions, palaces, and people are poor. Okay, mashallah, be patient. Give him advice. Turn to Allah. As the ulama, they said, change yourself. A lot of people don't pray. They in the dunya, they steal, they oppress one another, and then they want to blame the ruler. He's the only one who oppressed. They oppress each other every day. Change yourself. Turn back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah will grant you victory. Now they want to go against the ruler. Now what? No jobs, no money, no safety, no peace, chaos, turmoil, killing, people living in terror, they frightened. A'udhu billah. There is certain things I can't even say. You see? قال الشيخ حفظه الله قال ولا نقول إنه يسكت على ما يصدر من الحكام من أخطاء لا بل تعالج ولكن تعالج بالطريقة السليمة بالمناصحة لهم سرا والكتابة لهم سرا. The Sheikh says we may not say, he says we are not saying actually, he says we are not saying that one should remain silent about the errors that come from the rulers. That's not what we're saying, he says. No, rather they should be corrected. But, that's what makes the difference. But they must be corrected in a pure way, the right way. Huh? Which is by advising them in private and writing to them personally. You write to them. Write a letter. That's what all you have to do. قال وليست بالكتابة التي تكتب ويوقع عليها جمع كثير وتوزع على الناس هذا لا يجوز بل تكتب كتابة سرية فيها نصيحة تسلم لولي الأمر أو يكلم شفويا أما الكتابة التي تكتب وتصور وتوزع على الناس فهذا عمل لا يجوز لأنه تشهير هذا ليس من النصيحة وهو مثل الكلام على المنابر بل هو أشد بل الكلام يمكن أن ينسى ولكن الكتابة تبقى وتتداولها الأيدي فليس هذا من الحق. The Sheikh says, as for, the Sheikh says, look, one of the right ways to advise the ruler is to write a letter, send it to the ruler. That's it. He says, but writing to them, we don't mean that which is written down, passed through the hands of a group of individuals, and then spread amongst people. So this is not permissible. Sometimes you find people, they write a letter of so many, sometimes 50, 100 more pages, all the mistakes of the ruler, or maybe some, whatever they could get on him, and then what? They have so many people sign it. What they call those letters? Petition, right? Huh? Petition. Many day, like they got 6,000 signatures. They got 30,000 signatures. That's enough. I said, that's enough for that. This is not the way it's done. The Sheikh said, this is not permissible. Rather, a confidential letter containing one's advice should be written and handed over to the ruler or read to him orally. As for a letter that is written and then photocopied, make it like Xerox in so many thousands and hundreds of copies and distributed to the people, he said, this act is not permissible since it is publicizing the ruler's errors and it is just like speaking against him from the minbar on Jumu'ah or in the classes. The Sheikh said, in fact, it is worse. Why? He said, because it is possible for a person to forget some speech he hears, but as for a written letter, it remains with him and passes through hands. So this is not from the truth. And that's what the people don't want. Like, for example, in Saudi Arabia, you get Al-Mas'ari, Wal-Faqih. These people, that's what they do. They just write letters like Salman Al-Awda. These people are deviant. And that's what they do because they don't follow the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They don't follow the Sunnah in advising the ruler. Now they want to write letters and pass them all over on the website, especially in our times. Before they used to write the letters and copy them and give them out. Now it's Facebook, Twitter, man. Now it's WhatsApp, it's many other things. It's like one click. And it's all over the world, from China to Japan to Brazil to Argentina, Chile, I don't know what, Honduras, Canada, Alaska, going down here, over there, every single little room, and everybody who has a phone or a smartphone that reaches these things, get these things. قال الشيخ حفظه الله. In the Sheikh حفظه الله, he says, now he's going to bring the adilla. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. الحديث أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the religion is sincere advice. The religion is built upon sincere advice. He mentioned that three times, the Prophet ﷺ. They said, to who, O Messenger of Allah, this sincere advice? He said, to Allah, meaning to his religion, by maintaining his religion, and to his book, by acting upon it, and his Messenger ﷺ, by submitting to him and following him and obeying him, and to the leaders of the Muslims and their common folk. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. He mentioned another hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah yarda lakum thalatha, an ta'buduhu wa la tushriku bihi shay'a, wa an ta'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu, wa an tanasahu man wallahu Allahu amrakum." Also in this sound hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily Allah is pleased with three things for you. And also the hadith says, and he is displeased three other things for you. The Shaykh, he mentioned the three that he is pleased for us. Number one, to worship him alone and not associate anything in worship with him. That's what Allah is pleased, Tawheed. To be upon Tawheed, Islamic monotheism. To worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid shirk. Number two, you hold tight onto the rope of Allah, all of you together, and not be divided. See, you hold tight on the rope of Allah, not on colors, customs, tribalism, who are my people, not on hizbiyah, partisanship, not on innovation and bid'ah and shirkiyat, not upon jahl, ignorance, not upon qawmiyyah, nationalism, how we're going to get together because we're from the same country, like certain people they do now in America. They open a masjid and only their people. So if somebody else comes from other race or other country, he's not a look, you pray and go. He's not allowed to do anything in the masjid, can never be on the board. Even an imam will never be an imam on them, he has to be from their peoples. It gets worse. Sometimes you find in the same country, he has to be from the same tribe. They have different tribes, they'll never have. If they never have somebody from another tribe. But what Allah is pleased for us is to be united upon His robe, upon Tawheed, upon La ilaha illallah, upon His book and the Sunnah of His Messenger. Number three, that you mutually advise he whom Allah has given authority of your affairs. Give advice. Ay na'am. Tayyib. قال وأولى من يقوم بالنصيحة لولاة الأمور هم العلماء وأصحاب الرأي والمشورة وأهل الحل والعقد. قال الله تعالى وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم علمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. سورة النساء آية 83. Now the Shaykh said to us, who are most fitting to give nasiha to the rulers? Says the people most fitting and qualified to advise the rulers are the scholars. Not anybody. People don't know how to talk. The scholars, they know how to advise this man who's the ruler, how to talk to him, how not to make him angry against the people, you know? Because, well, you gotta be careful. You're gonna talk to the ruler in a way. No. The people most fitting and qualified to advise the rulers are the scholars. The members of the legal and consultative decisions, and those responsible for making decisions and problem solving. Now, those are the people that advise the ruler. And he mentioned the ayah 83 in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the English translation of what Allah says, and when there comes to them some matter concerning public security and or fear, they propagate it. to the people. See, whenever comes something, they talk about it. This is not right. This is not good. Because Allah says, but if only they had referred it to the messenger and those in authority amongst them, the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. And had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed the devil, except for a few amongst you. Ayna. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله فليس كل أحد من الناس يصلح لهذا الأمر. ليس كل الناس يصلحون لمناصحة الولي الأمر. وليس الترويج للأخطاء والتشهير بها من النصيحة في شيء. بل هو من إشاعة المنكر والفاحشة في الذين آمنوا ولا هو من منهج السلف الصالح وإن كان قصد صاحبها حسنا وطيبا وهو إنكار المنكر بزعمه لكن ما فعله أشد منكرا مما أنكره وقد يكون إنكار المنكر منكرا إذا كان على غير الطريقة التي شرعها الله تعالى ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه لم يتبع طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الشرعية التي رسمها حيث قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان فجعل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس على ثلاث أقسام نكمل بعد الترجمة إن شاء الله نعم الشيخ صالح حفظه الله تعالى he continued by saying not everybody is fit to do this, to give advice to the ruler. And keep in mind, he says, disseminating and publicizing their errors, meaning the ruler's errors, does not fall under advising at all. That's not advising. Are they talking about them and publish, you know, put their mistakes all over, they say that's advice? It's not advice. Rather, it falls under spreading evil and wickedness among those who believe. It is not from the methodology of the Salaf, as-Salih, even if the one who does it has a good and pure intention. So even if a person has good intention, because such as for the sake of forbidding an evil according to his view, what he is doing is greater evil than what he is forbidding, he says. Why? He says, which is, why forbidden and evil may be evil itself if done in a way other than what Allah and His Messenger have legislated. So they want to change an evil of one man and then they cause a greater evil by turning everybody or most everybody against him and bringing chaos and a lot of problems. So the Shaykh said, this person who does it this way has not followed the legislated way of the Prophet ﷺ, which he described when he said, ﷺ, whoever amongst you sees an evil should change it with his hand. But if he is not able to, then with his tongue. And if he is not able to, then with his heart, and that is the weakest form of faith. قال الشيخ صالح فجعل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس على ثلاثة أقسام منهم من يستطيع أن يزيل المنكر بيده وهو صاحب السلطة أي ولي الأمر أو من وكل إليه الأمر من الهيئات والأمراء والقادة والقسم الثاني العالم الذي لا سلطة له فينكر بالبيان والنصيحة بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وإبلاغ ذوي السلطة بالطريقة الحكيمة الله والقسم الثالث من لا علم عنده ولا سلطة ماذا يفعل هذا؟ يخرج إلى الشوارع كما يقول هؤلاء المجنونون؟ لا هذا ينكر بقلبه فيبغض هذا المنكر ويبغض أهله ويعتزلهم سبحان الله الله أكبر الشيخ now he says in this hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم this famous hadith we all know he amongst you says the evil should change it with his heart, with his hand if he cannot with his tongue if he cannot with his heart right? Well, what is the application of this hadith? How we understand this hadith? Some people think the hand, just like strong three brothers take someone who drink alcohol, take him to some back alley with some basement and beat him up. It's not what he means. This is not what he means, the hand, man.
It's not what he means.
If he sees someone mubtadi in the street and smack him, this is fawda. What if he smack you back? No, I got it. I know some kung fu. Well, he has the gun fu, no kung fu, you know? He shoot you, and then maybe his family come, get involved, his tribe, chaos. This is not what is understood. You gotta understand it from the ulama. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, he says, Hafidha Allah. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam divided the people into three categories when it comes to giving advice and changing the evil. Okay? The first category amongst them is he who is able to terminate an evil with his hand. Who is that? Strong guy? Tall? Powerful? No. So this is the one in authority. The one who has authority such as a ruler and those entrusted with some order, such as committees, governors, and leaders. The ruler, he is the one who can pass whatever and say, look, no more smoking in this Arab country. Anybody smokes, he's gonna go to judge. No woman is allowed to leave her house not dressed properly. Dress properly according to the sunnah. Fine, learn. We're not going to tell you what to do. Learn. Here is books. Here is the ulama. We have ulama to teach you. Learn how to dress properly. No riba. No stealing. No killing. You see? No oppression. See? But if anybody does that, the ruler is like, look, you're going to go to you're going to stand in front of a judge and face your actions. This is what I mean by the hand. As for the second type is the scholars, who because he has no authority, the scholars have no authority. So what this scholar do? Forbids evil by explaining and advising. But, the Shaykh said, with wisdom and fair admonition, and by advising those in authority in a wise manner. You see? That's why it's for the ulama. Wise manner, because you're going to look at that the ruler, you don't want to make him angry, and then he don't even care who says what, and he's going to do it his way. No, you're going to have nice hikmah and wisdom. So that he, inshaAllah ta'ala, Allah may grant him tawfiq, and he would accept the advice. That's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, if I know that one dua will be accepted, I will make it for the ruler. I will make it for the ruler. Because if Allah rectify the ruler, mashallah, he's the one who make decisions and do this, don't do this. Amen. The third category consists of those who have no knowledge or authority. What is this, the third category in the hadith? Who are they? Abdullah? With the heart. Changing the evil with the what? With the heart. What does it mean? He said there are those who have no knowledge or authority. What these people should do? Okay, they have no knowledge. They have no authority. They go put their hands and go in the street. And demonstrate. And protest? No, the Shaykh says, these people, they should forbid evil, yes, too. They can still forbid evil, but how? They have to do with the way that is legislated. With their hearts. How? By hating that evil. By hating it. And hating and withdrawing away from those who do it. That's it. That's what they do. You're not a alim, cannot. You don't have no skills, not qualified, the Shaykh says, to advise the ruler. You have no authority to change anything. You're not a governor in that area. You're not the mayor. You're not the police. You're nothing. You have no authority whatsoever. What you do? Hate it. Hate it and stay away from it. Of course, the ulama, they says, but if you know a scholar in an area, because he don't know you, let a alim know that in our area, Shaykh, there is this and this, so that the ulama, they will talk about it. Or you may write a letter to the mayor, to the governor. Because the mayor and the governor, they don't know the streets. They don't know. No, you write a letter and said, look, I have no authority. You do. You, the chief commissioner, or whatever they call it, right? The commissioner of the police. You are, not me. So in our area, in our neighborhood, there is. I see certain people are doing a lot of things. Now write, do something about it. That's all you have to do. Now, and by this comes the end of that, of the answer of this beautiful and beneficial answer of our noble Shaykh, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala. Now here we go to the footnotes, because they're very important. Remember the Shaykh, he says, وَإِنْ ظَلَمُوا. As the Prophet ﷺ commend with that. He says, look, the Muslim who wants to do what's pleasing to Allah does not go against the Muslim rule, even if they are oppressive. Okay? Because here, this is Aqidah al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. I'm going to read to you in English now, because we don't have much time. So this is the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, Ikhwan. This is the methodology of the Salaf with regard to advising the rulers. It must be private and concealed, so that there is no room for self-amazement, riya, to enter. Before that, before that, he says, this is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. This is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah with respect to the Muslim ruler. The author of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, Rahimahullah, said, and we do not hold it permissible to rebel against our imams and our leaders, even if they may be oppressive. Nor do we supplicate against them or remove ourselves from obedience to them. Ikhwan Muslimin do the opposite. Make dua against them in every salat and this khutbah. And we hold, he says, nor do we supplicate against them or remove ourselves from obedience to them. We hold that obeying them is part of obeying Allah, subhanAllah, and hence an obligation as long as they do not order us to commit sins. We supplicate to Allah for them, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them rectification and pardon. This is the same belief that the, and but that was the end quote of Imam al-Tahawi in his Tahawiyyah. This is the same belief that the callers to truth and upon are upon to this very day. These same words and those that bear a similar meaning to it were constantly repeated by our teacher, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. That's what Shaykh ibn Baz. Whenever they ask him any question about the Muslim ruler, why he's doing this, he's oppressive, is that, money, this. He's like, look, man, I got one answer for all of you. That's what the Prophet says. This is what the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. In his class and his lectures. And when the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, the Prophet ﷺ commend us with this, he says, the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he is referring to the hadith of Ubadah ibn al-Samit, radiallahu anhu, in which he said, the Prophet ﷺ summoned us. And so we gave him the oath, bay'ah, of allegiance, that we would hear and obey the leader in matters that we liked and matters that we disliked, and in things that were hard upon us, and things that were easy upon us, and that we would give him, meaning the ruler, preference over ourselves, and that we would not oppose the authority of the leader unless we notice him having open disbelief, for which we would have a clear proof from Allah against him. Allah. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala added in his narration, if you believe that you have some justification in the matter of rebelling, do not act upon this suspicion. Rather, just hear and obey until he reaches you, without removing yourselves from the obedience. See? There is a further addition in the report of Ibn Hibban and Ahmad, even if they take your wealth and beat your back. Allah asked all of these quotes and these narrations are in Fath al-Bari. In Fath al-Bari. Sheikh Fawzan, he says, continue to obey them, even if they are oppressive. You have to be patient while continuing to obey them. In the footnote, he says, the Sheikh, may Allah preserve him, is referring to the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in which he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever sees in his leader something that he dislikes should be patient with it. Should be patient, not talk about it and try to rally people and gather people to go against him. Should be patient with it. For indeed, whoever splits away from the Jama'ah, a unified group under one ruler, even an inch, and then dies, he does not die except the death of some in the days of ignorance. SubhanAllah. This is in report by Sahih al-Bukhari. And he is also referring to the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, you will indeed see things after me that you will disapprove of. You will see things from your rulers that are not right, it's not right. So they said, the companion says, what do you order us to do with them, with this ruler that we see things that are not right? The Messenger of Allah ﷺ replied, give them, meaning the leaders, their rights and ask Allah for your rights. Allah, don't take your rights with your hand. Give them their rights that Allah has given them, obedience, and don't oppose them, and ask Allah for your rights. This is reported by Imam al-Bukhari. And as for the footnote related to the point when the Shaykh Hafidahullah Ta'ala says, when he says, for those people who want to change the evil that these leaders are upon, not following the Sunnah, may occur a greater evil than that which comes from the rulers in the first place. In the footnotes of this, he said, such as the rallies and demonstrations that have appeared in some of the neighboring countries. That was like a couple of years ago. SubhanAllah. But now it's like, subhanAllah, we know the evil outcome of those demonstrations, those rallies and the like. So these demonstrations are from the practices of the non-believers and not the Muslims. It is not part of the religion in any way. Demonstrating, going out and demonstrating against the ruler and causing everything to panic and chaos and blocking the people from going to work, to go into school, killing the economy and people cannot even go in, subhanAllah. Men and women mixing together in demonstration, and then still they have the nerve when Salat comes in, Asr, they call the Adhan and women and men praying together. And they say that's necessity. Necessity. And even someone says, well, don't you see in Mecca, don't you see in the Haram? In the Haram, and when people are making tawaf, and then some women are trapped, and they call the Iqama, and you see a woman right behind you in the Akhi, those are in Hajj. These people are making ibadah, fulfilling one of the prayers of Islam. Still, the ulama says, still in that case, the women are responsible, they shouldn't pray with men. Still, they say, look, some of them make tawaf, but you gotta look at the clock. When the time of the salat approached, the women got to go to the women area. And we've seen that with the hay'ah. those people who command good and forbid evil, the committee of in Saudi Arabia, alhamdulillah, like 20 minutes before the Adhan or something, or 15 minutes, they be like telling the women, go, sit back, go back, go back. But still some ignorant sneak their wives. Yes, Israel. Now they tell them, go, because the women should not pray with men. The women, they pray behind men or designated areas for them. But these people, they want to use this. They're like, no, is demonstration, going to demonstrations like making hajj? Yes, subhanAllah. Yes, subhanAllah. It's time for the adhan. Now, so the Shaykh says these demonstrations are from the practices of non-believers. It's not from the Muslims. Going against the ruler with banners and with and talking and chanting and doing what these ignorant people are doing, this is not from Islam. Muslims don't do these things. This is something that they imitate the kuffar. And we're not supposed to imitate them. It's not permissible to imitate them. It is not part of the religion in any way. They result in the shedding of blood, the destruction of property, and mastery to be gained over the Sunnah and its adherents. So won't the colors to political instigation reflect on these consequences? And that's true. Those who they say, look, they have a like peaceful demonstration. Have you ever heard about a peaceful demonstration?
Yeah, Salamiya.
Huh?
Salamiya.
There is no such thing. There's no such thing. Because even though some people, they may want to be peaceful, but then other people take advantage of that, right or wrong? And go on chaos, we hear cars being burned down, right or wrong? People break into some of the stores and people are pushing and shoving and confrontation between the police and Muslims, and by the end of that day or other days, many youth are in jail, right? Some are killed, some are, I don't know what. Allahu musta'an. What peaceful would that? Peace is in the Sunnah, man. Ayna'am. And the last footnote is pertaining to that when the Shaykh mentioned that a person write a letter to the ruler, but it has to be confidential, containing advice, containing one's advice. So this is the methodology of the Salaf with regard to advising the rulers. It must be private and concealed so that there is no room for self-amazement, riyah, to enter. In these circumstances, it is much more likely that they, meaning the rulers, will accept the advice and Allah will accept the good deed. We will mention some of the texts, he said, and narration regarding this later. It's going to be mentioned later on in another answer to another question. So, as you see in following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that's what good. For khairul hadi, hadi Muhammad ﷺ. And you find Muslims, many of them, because they are ignorant, they don't learn the deen of Allah. They're just Muslims by affiliation. So that's why they are an easy prey and victims to these criminals who they use the Muslims and Islam as a bridge to get to the power, like Ikhwan Muslimun. Ikhwan Muslimun, they care about power, politics. They just want to get there. And thus Allah exposed them all these years. The ulama, they've been warning against them because they know their plans and their tricks. But the people don't. They're like, no. Look, they are the only true Muslims. For all these years, the laymen, they keep saying, no, Ikhwan Muslimun, they are the only true Muslims. Why they are true Muslims? Because they are the only one that have the nerve to say in the khutbah the mistakes of the ruler. Because they don't know. See, the jahl, because they are ignorant of the sunnah, they think if someone come and give a powerful khutbah and mention the rulers and make dua against them. May Allah give them a cancer in their liver, like Abdul Hamid Kishki used to say. May Allah give them this, may Allah this. They're like, this is the real Muslim. Why? Because he don't fear the rulers. Does he fear Allah? Because the one who fear Allah adhere to the deen of Allah. Allah didn't tell us that. It is not from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah وسلم, to refute the rulers. But there is the proper way to do it. وَخَيْرُ الْهَدِي هَدِيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. These people, they want the laymen, they want good, but they don't know the way to achieve it. Because the only way to guarantee good is the sunnah. The sunnah tells us, don't go against the ruler. Be patient. Give them their rights with obedience. Don't go against them. Allah put them in there. And ask Allah your rights. They oppress you, ask Allah your right. Allah will give it to you. But the laymen, no. To them, someone who clearly go against the sunnah, publicly, on Jumu'ah, not just in some private meeting, still ignorant thing, this is the one who applied the sunnah. This is the true Muslim. This is the only one who knows Islam. This is the one who have the correct understanding of the Islam. Because he don't fear none but Allah. See, they say that this man in this khutbah, he knows that there is spies of the ruler. How they know? How they know? So they are spies. And he knows he's going to go to jail. He knows maybe he's going to be killed. But he still said the haq. Really? That's how things done? You see the ignorant people? But the ulama, who they adhere to the sunnah, and they make dua for the ruler, they're like, look, they work for them. See? They said, those are umala. Oh, see, he worked for them. What? He make dua for the ruler? Yeah. He tell the people, don't go out. Stay home. Like women. No, no, no. He's not a alim. He's not a alim. Most definitely he's not a alim. Why? Because why he's not a alim? Because they're ignorant of the sunnah. If they know the sunnah, they were like, subhanAllah, that's the alim. Why? Because the alim, he says, look, man, these rulers have problems, have issues, but we Muslims, we adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet. This is what Allah tells us. This is what the Messenger of Allah tells us to do. But when you live in a time when many people are ignorant of the deen, what are you going to do? You're going to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And you make dua that may Allah rectify the affairs of the Muslims. Because they are ignorant, masakeen. And look what happened now. You think anything changed to the better in Egypt? In Libya, in Syria, in Tunisia, nothing. It's worse. People now, they hope, and they're like, we hope, they never, nothing happened before. Some people in Egypt, they're hoping for the days and the time of Hosni Mubarak. They're hoping. They're like, where are those days, man? Where are those days? Why? Because of ignorance of the sunnah. So Allah alayhi wa lakum al-tawfiq wa-sadad wa-salama min al-fitan wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا